back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. And as always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars. Three of them are coming up. You can see who the show's sponsors are, and you can visit all of their websites. You can see what legislation we're demanding from our elected officials and which elected officials are in your corner and which are not. You can link to our Facebook page. You can join our blog in the Orlando Sentinel. And I encourage everybody, sign up for our email list so you can get copies of our newsletters and other announcements about the show. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And finally, again, thank you to so many of you for supporting the Community Association Member Party and for throwing your support behind our six legislative proposals. And again, to find out more how you can get involved and finally demand long overdue changes in 2012 from the members of the Florida Legislature, visit camp2012.net. Again, that's www.camp2012.net.
Well, last show we spoke about a Georgia judge who berated a bank who wouldn't help out a homeowner it was foreclosing on, and how Glazer & Associates is expanding to Naples and Fort Myers. While certain parts of Broward are losing their senior citizen population, it seems that all of South Florida is losing its educated younger population and is going through what experts describe as a brain drain. And finally, the fact that South Florida is the third saddest city in the country.
Yeah, well, some irony this week, Karen. If South Florida is the third saddest city in the United States, then it's certainly true that misery loves company, because there was an interesting article on the CNBC website this week that says the busiest cities in the United States during the holidays that just passed were Fort Myers, Florida, Miami, Florida, and Fort Lauderdale.
Well, apparently there are tens of thousands of flights that land here in November and December that bring miserable Northerners to visit their sad family members here in Florida.
Yeah, and I guess the Northerners are miserable because winter has set in up north. I understand a big blast is coming later on this week, and maybe we're miserable down here, I guess, because the Northerners are all coming to visit. And I can tell you firsthand that I had the pleasure of spending some time last week in the Naples-Fort Myers area, and it was definitely crowded. The weather was gorgeous, and the beaches are packed. They are booming on the West Coast, at least during this holiday season. But before we go any further with the show today, again, as Karen indicated, I first want to wish all our listeners a very happy and a very healthy New Year. And in the spirit of the New Year, how about we do a top 10 list of New Year's resolutions for 2012 for all our owners, directors, managers, tenants, banks, and, of course, the Florida Legislature. And I'll start it off.
Boy.
Here we go. Number 10. This year, as a unit owner, I resolve to pay my assessments on time, or at least pay them when I get around to it.
Number 9. As a board member, I resolve to be more open to suggestions, be a better listener, and far more willing to address the concerns of my fellow owners, even my spouse.
Yeah, wow. Number 8. As a tenant, I resolve to pay my rent to the association if my landlord is not paying his condo or HOA dues, and not fib to the association that my landlord, who lives in Tibet, is somehow my relative and I'm using the unit while he's out of town.
That's happening more and more. Number 7. If I'm the condo security guard, there's even a resolution for the condo security guard, I resolve not to fall asleep again while manning the guard gate, even if I'm stuck in my booth watching endless reruns of the Kardashians on my little black and white TV.
Number 6. If I'm a concerned unit owner, I resolve to get involved, take on the powers that be, and even give up Mahjong. Once a month in order to attend my board of directors meeting.
Okay. Number five, if I'm a board member and I'm accused of violating the Florida condo or HOA laws, I promise to never once utter the words, but that's how we've been doing it over the last 20 years.
I hear that all the time. If I'm the Florida legislature, I resolve to pass some new laws that will actually financially help the owners that live in community associations, and I won't be afraid of my life to say a bad word about the banking industry.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Well, if I'm a bank, and this is number three, I resolve to stop filing false robo-signing signed affidavits in our Florida courts and instead do all I possibly have to do to help homeowners avoid foreclosures. You gotta make a New Year's resolution to not commit fraud, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good one.
All right.
Number two. If I'm an owner of a home or a condo or HOA, I resolve, promise, swear, agree, ensure, and pledge that I will only vote for a candidate for any Florida political office that publicly supports a change in the laws that make the banks more financially responsible to our community associations because of the financial disaster they caused to our associations and the fraud they filed in our court system.
That really should be number one.
Yeah.
You guys better align yourselves this year as a voting bloc. I mean, that should be the number one New Year's resolution. But our number one New Year's resolution of the year is, drum roll, if I'm a board member or board member to be, I promise not to sign that silly self-serving affidavit that certifies you to be on the board, and instead you resolve to take the Condo Craze board member certification course.
Yay, it's free!
There you go. All right, again, as a reminder to everybody, board members in a condominium have to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to the board of directors, or they are suspended from the board. One way to get certified is by taking the Condo Craze board member certification course, and for the first time ever, everybody, Floridians can sign up at any one of our three different locations for the time being, and here are the dates, times, and locations. The next one coming up is actually in about 3 weeks, January 26th at 7 o'clock p.m., and that's at the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood. Again, January 26th, 7 o'clock, it's a Thursday night, the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood. The next one after that is February 18th at 12 o'clock noon at the Hard Rock Hotel in Orlando. Again, February 18th at noon, the Hard Rock in Orlando. And then February 29th at 3 o'clock at the South Florida Fairgrounds in West Palm Beach. Again, the 29th of February, 3 o'clock, South Florida Fairgrounds in West Palm Beach. And we will definitely be putting on a seminar on Florida's West Coast, but we're not sure the date and time just yet. So to register for any of these seminars, any of the three we just mentioned, please go to condocrazeandhoas.com. Again, condocrazeandhoas.com.
And as we always say, the bottom line is that an educated board is simply a better board. They're less likely to make mistakes that can cost the association money, and they're more likely to be in compliance with their duties as board members. The course teaches them all about their fiduciary duties, budgets, reserve funding, how to notice and conduct meetings, and we also talk about your governing documents. We also talk about all the new laws that get passed and whether or not any of these new laws even apply to your community. There's always good food and drink, and best of all, it's free.
Yeah, exactly. Not only is it free, Scott, but as we always say, we actually give away lots of prizes. And 2 weeks ago, someone in Orlando actually won that 32-inch LCD color TV. Yeah. And if anyone actually wants to see photos of the Condo Craze seminars to get a feel for what it's about, just go to our Facebook page and search for Condo Craze and HOAs. And lots of pictures come up on the site. Don't forget to click like and become a friend of the show. And, of course, if you want to register for any of the three seminars, whether it's in Hollywood, Palm Beach, or Orlando, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com. Brian, our office manager, will send you confirmation that you are, in fact, registered.
And I also understand that associations who are clients of the firm actually can get certified without leaving their home.
Yeah, that's right, Karen. For clients of Glazer & Associates, we'll actually go to your association and give the board certification course at your association. And we will meet with your new board. It's a great time to not only get certified, but also a great time to talk about what the association needs and demands from their law firm in the year ahead. And again, that's all free of charge as well. But let's do this. Let's take our first break. And when we get back, We're going to answer some emails from our listeners about elections, about how many people can serve on a board, what to do with excess funds at this time of the year, and we'll talk about an HOA that is demanding that the parents of a child with cerebral palsy remove a little playhouse that his parents built for him and that helps him with his illness. Trust me, this one will get you upset. And, of course, we'll take your calls on anything that ails you in the condo and HOA world. Just give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year. Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer, Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your phone calls here at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. You just heard a bunch of them. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email. And we'll go to Bridget, who's on the line. Thanks for holding, Bridget. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bridget. How are you?
Good, Eric. I was given your phone number yesterday, and I'm told you handle different things with the HOA Association and the issues down in Florida. I'm up in New York, and I bought this unit in 2006.
Where in New York are you?
I am on Long Island.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Father-in-law's from Belmont.
County.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh,
know
really?
It well. Absolutely. Really? Know it well. I'm sure a lot of our listeners as well.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. I don't know who to speak to, who to turn to, how to get some help, what to do. I got a condo in 2006, which should have never been approved. And then they told me if I didn't sign, they would sue me. So SAMC had it. They sold it to Greenpoint. They sold it to Capital. They sold it to BAC, Bank of America.
Okay.
The people that handle the unit are horrendous down there. I don't know what I owe in homeowner dues. I know I'm behind. They won't communicate with me. They don't talk to me. They don't send me any financials. They changed the locks on my unit. They won't give me access. They won't give me a key. They won't have my real estate agent rent the unit. They won't let her have access.
Okay. See, it's funny.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, we keep running into this a lot. It seems that there's some associations out there that believe that they have the right to actually change locks on units that they don't own. And that is simply not the law in the state of Florida.
And I was never notified of it.
Yeah.
I had a tenant in there for a year and a half. He was wonderful. The place was always rented. I fell behind in my dues, and they paid the dues with extra.
Okay.
Every month. And then these people coerced him to move out of my unit and kept telling my tenant that I was in foreclosure when I wasn't. Everything was paid. The dues were being paid. My mortgages were being paid. My water bills. Everything was being paid. And he kept telling my tenant this.
Yeah, hi.
And telling anybody. So
Bridget,
I'm sure you're up against this.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Well, Bridget, this is a problem that a lot of people are having right now, especially unit owners that don't live within the state and are, you know, basically dealing with their units, you know, at an arm's length or with other third people involved. Respectfully, this is probably something we should discuss on a call to our office and not on the air, because it sounds like you have a case against this association. And I would respectfully suggest that it sounds like you probably need an attorney to deal with this matter.
Someone kicked your tenant out, you know, but here's what doesn't make sense. And I see associations do this every now and then, too. If you have a tenant in the unit and you're actually collecting the rent from the tenant, you know, and using it to pay the dues from the delinquent owner, why would you want that tenant out? You're getting money.
I think we can answer that, Eric. If you're not running the association the way everybody should be, but you're running it in a way that maybe better serves those involved in running it, there's a very good reason why.
Yeah.
So we should probably discuss something like this off the air.
Yeah, Bridget, give us a call at the office tomorrow.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
How do I reach you?
855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855 the number 4 condo craze, and we'll be glad to speak to you about your specific problem tomorrow. But just to give our listeners just a general idea of how we'd approach it also is you should absolutely send the board a certified letter, return receipt requested, asking them for a copy of your ledger. And you know,
oh,
you're entitled to. They don't
give
you.
He's already done that.
Yeah. Well, they don't give you access to that record. Then you're entitled to file an arbitration complaint against that association, and the association is going to wind up paying you $500 in penalties, and they're going to wind up paying your attorney's fees and costs as well.
Yeah, and everybody listening right now, whether a person's paying their dues or not. Association boards, please. You don't own the unit. You cannot lock them out until you have taken title to the unit through a foreclosure action.
Right, exactly.
Until you have a judgment, it's still their property.
Yeah, but hopefully people will understand that in 2012.
Is that theft?
I don't know if it's theft. It's certainly, if they kicked your tenant out, certainly you have potentially a cause of action for tortious interference with your contract between you and your tenant.
There's definitely a trespass there.
Yeah, there might be a trespass. Exactly. So give us a call and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
And is this Mike or Eric?
This is Eric. Okay.
We don't have a mic.
So
we have a mic.
No, Mike.
Who's Mike?
We don't have. This is Scott. I work with Eric. And we don't have a mic.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Brian just reminded me. We're not open tomorrow. Tomorrow's actually the official holiday. So give us a call on Tuesday. Okay.
I so appreciate it.
Thanks,
have a
Bridget.
Happy New Year.
You too.
And I
thank
hope
you.
We can get this resolved.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All
bye.
Right.
All right.
Taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
And Eric, yes. I understand that you had some of your own trouble with the law over the weekend.
Yeah,
some blue
I
lights
did.
In your rear view.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I decided to take the family to Disney these past 3 days. And just to tell you how crowded it was, at one point or another, believe it or not, every Disney park, all 4 of them, and both Universal parks, at some point stopped allowing anybody to come in any longer. It was mobbed. So needless to say, I was kind of in a hurry to get back. And wouldn't you know it, I drove like 205 miles and less than 10 miles from the house, I did see those blue
Jeez.
Lights in my rearview mirror, and I get pulled over for a speeding ticket.
You know, I'm kind of surprised at this, because you are the slowest driver I have ever met in my life. He probably takes about an average of an hour and a half to get from our office in Hollywood down to downtown Miami in the express lane, mind you. But, on top of being the slowest driver, you're also the worst driver, Eric. So, respectfully, I think your New Year's resolution should be to never drive again.
Mm. Oh, wow. You're a lawyer. How are you going to beat this speeding ticket?
How am I going to beat this ticket? Well, I'm thinking that if I can get a jury trial on this ticket, and if I can have that jury made up solely of parents who know or remember what it's like to desperately want to get home after 3 days with their kids at Disney during Christmas break, I think the jury buys an insanity defense and they let me walk.
I think you're right.
Yeah. The only thing you should be doing is walking from work to wherever you have to go, all right? You know, no more driving for you, please.
And how about no more driving jokes for 2012? That's a New Year's resolution my entire staff should follow.
All right.
But all right, moving on. Some really good email questions this week. And the first is from John in Jacksonville. And John says that he's familiar with the rule that says when a person submits their name to be a candidate in the condo election, they can also submit that one-page information sheet about themselves and their qualifications. Now, John says that the residents of the community that he lives in, they're generally bilingual, and therefore he wants to submit a candidate information sheet about himself in both English and Spanish. So, therefore, it would actually be a two-page document. And the question is, can John campaign this way? Scott, give us the answer.
Oh, well, unfortunately for John, there is an arbitration case right on point that says the state and the statute rule is clearly limited to the size of the candidate information sheet, that it's envisioned by the statute that one side of a sheet must be 8.5 inches by 11 inches on a sheet of paper. By permitting some candidates to use twice the space, even if it's just the same information, the association would be in violation of both the statute and the rule. So, John, write very small and send out the information on one page in both English and Spanish.
Yeah, I know that might infuriate some of our listeners in some Spanish communities that would like the opportunity to send out their information in both English and Spanish. But again, according to the ruling from the DBPR, you cannot. So, sorry about that, John. You can, again, as Scott mentioned. mentioned if you send it all out in one sheet of paper.
I don't think anybody could have understood the way I just read that statute.
Yeah, right. but you can't do it on two sheets. You're going to have to narrow it down and cram everything onto one sheet of paper. So write small. All right, along those lines, our listeners actually may be surprised to learn that there's actually no statute that requires your annual meeting to be done in English. And I can tell you that I've been to an annual meeting that was done entirely in French, believe it or not, to accommodate a large French-Canadian population that lived in a particular condominium in Sunny Isles Beach.
Oh, my money was on Hallandale.
The Frontenac?
My money was on Hallandale. Sunny Isles?
I don't want to throw the client under the bus, so I'm not going to say who it was. But it was in Sunny Isles Beach, entirely French-speaking. And I got to tell you, I was at this meeting. This is going back a couple of years. And the English-speaking unit owners at the meeting were going bananas. They were really going out of their mind. The board was dominated by French-speaking persons, and the English-speaking people were saying, we don't know what's going on. We have no idea what's taking place at our own annual meeting. Is there anything we can do about it? And I got to tell you, there wasn't much cooperation from the people who were in control of the meeting.
The Francophones.
Yeah, exactly. And it really, really did not go well, and people were really upset. But it does happen.
I would think it comes up more often in our Spanish-speaking communities because there's simply so many of them.
Well, it does. And I'll just throw the question out to everybody out there, and we'll see if anybody bites. Do you believe that there should be an English-only requirement for board meetings and unit owner meetings? Again, we'll ask it again. Do you believe there should be an English-only requirement for board meetings and unit owner meetings? Let us know your thoughts again. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. I'll say this. I don't know if there should be an English-only requirement, but there should at least be a requirement that it be conducted in English.
Hey.
There's not even a requirement that it be conducted in English.
You know where
really?
We never get complaints from?
Oh.
The Russian-dominated communities.
Yes.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Nobody ever complains from there.
I'd watch your car, but anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So, again, taking your calls, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Taking your calls.
We see you, Blaine.
And we will be back right after. Yeah, Blaine, just hang in there. We'll be back right after this.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Happy New Year. Go Dolphins. I'm Karen Curtis.
Wait a minute.
I need the Jets to win today.
Hold on.
I was going to try to gloss over that.
Yeah, I drank a little bit last night, but I'm awake.
Okay.
Yeah. What, apple juice?
If you're heading to the game, give us a call. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. Eric, of course, the Jets fan. And we are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And we're going to go to Blaine in Palm City. Hi, Blaine.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I want to applaud you and the other law firms that are sponsoring these seminars to give some guidance to potential board members on these HOO and condos, because all of us are facing real complexing problems today with repossessions and delinquent dues and foreclosures and so forth. So to wing it without professional guidance along the line is just very costly to the homeowners. Case in point, last year, we had a member run for the board of directors in our HO association who is currently suing the board and also delinquent in their assessment.
Really?
And the board allowed that person to run for a membership on the board. However, they were defeated, but they could have won and it would have caused more problems. So I applaud the firms and I hope the legislature gets some rules and regulations in, because we all need a lot of help right now.
Well, hey, are you on the board of directors, Blaine?
No, sir.
Ever think about becoming involved in the board of directors? I mean, you seem like a smart guy.
Yeah, well, I put my name in the hat this time, and I'm going to attend your seminar to get up to speed, because I've seen what has happened in our particular case, and it's cost us money to defend these mistakes in court.
Well, good for you.
And we have recently hired a professional accounting firm to take care of all our payments and finances rather than a volunteer treasurer.
Oh, I agree with you. I think community associations work a lot better when you are managed professionally rather than doing it in-house. No two ways about it. You coming to the seminar?
Absolutely.
You coming to the seminar in Orlando, I take it?
No, I'm trying to get the one nearest to me in Palm Beach.
Oh, in Palm Beach. Great. Okay. Then we will see you then. That's right. February 29th.
I got the website to sign in on it.
All right, Blaine. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. How about we go to Steve in Carl Springs?
Hello, Steve.
Yes. Hello.
How are you?
How are you guys today?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve. How can we help you?
Let me set up the scenario for you. I live in a community in Coral Springs, and a year or two ago, the community was annexed from the county to the city. And in doing so, the community had to do some updates. We bought the unit with this door. One of the stipulations when it was annexed, they had to change the Jalous doors.
Okay.
Mine wasn't a Jalous door. We bought the apartment like that. Now, I was fined from the city $100 a day until I changed that door. Is that right or wrong?
I have no idea. Apparently, when you were taken over by the city, you're saying you had a specific door on your unit. And as a result of that, the city began levying fines against you because you wouldn't change the door?
Yeah. My door wasn't a Jalous door. When the community was annexed, they had only implemented for Jalous doors to be changed. But we bought the apartment with this particular door that, for some reason, looked fine.
Well, this could actually be a very interesting situation, Eric, okay? I mean, assuming that you are some part of an unincorporated part of Broward County, and I guess the area of land that your condo is in was annexed by Coral Springs is what you're saying, right?
Yes, I guess.
There's some sort of, you know, ordinance in Coral Springs that says you can't have the type of door that you have, and it needs to be changed, right? And they've been fining you ever since.
Well, basically what they said that I had changed the door without pulling the permit, but we had bought the apartment like that.
Okay.
He never changed it.
If that's the case, you know, people don't realize this. You basically need a permit to do almost any single thing that there is to do.
Eric, think about this. How could you pull a permit from Coral Springs if you weren't even in Coral Springs when the door was done?
That's right. That could be the case. I don't know.
You know, here's the thing, Steve. Why don't you give us a call at the office? Because this could get a little bit more technical, and I don't know if it's appropriate to discuss it over the radio. But this could be something interesting for us to talk about over the phone, though.
I haven't been living here in Coral Springs for too long, but it just seemed a little fishy.
I lived in Coral Springs for about 20 years, so I might be able to help you out, all right?
Right.
And my parents still live there. So,
Steve, give us a call at the office, 855 the number 4 Condo Craze. Again, 855 the number 4 Condo Craze, okay? And we'll talk to you on Tuesday about that. Maybe we can help you out.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, funny, I'm glad to see, I have to say this, that the community is getting away from jealousy doors. I'll tell you why. I had a case.
I'm glad because I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, jealousy doors are those glass pane doors that
you
kind of roll.
You can open them up.
I had a case that involved a rental.
You mean
community.
A sliding glass door?
No.
It's not a sliding glass door. It's one of those where you like crank the windows open and crank the windows closed.
Oh, yeah.
Windows.
Yeah.
But it's on the door. And I had a real serious case a couple of years ago where the I think it was a rental community. The rental community wouldn't replace several of the missing windows, glass panes on the door. And my client was sleeping one night, and all of a sudden she wakes up, and a guy is standing next to her in the house, and the police confirmed he got through because of the missing windows. A terrible sexual assault happened in front of her child, no less.
Oh my God.
And I got to tell you, that owner wound up paying a lot of money. So associations who are responsible for maintaining those doors. If there are missing, you know, glass panes,
just
window panes.
Just reach your hand right through.
Yeah, you better make sure that you are fixing them, because if a crime occurs on that property and it's the association's obligation to maintain that door and you don't, then you can wind up with some serious, serious liability from an association perspective.
Well, another email this week is from Jane in North Miami, who wants to know, how do you determine how many members of the board should be there when the bylaws only say that the number needs to be at least 3, but not more than 9?
This is coming up a lot this time of year, and a real good question. And, of course, there's an arbitration case exactly on this issue as well, when the units are – when the bylaws specifically don't give you an exact number. And here's what that arbitration case says. When the governing documents provide a range for the number of directors, such as not more than X, you know, or not, I'm sorry, not less than X, but not more than Y, like between 3 and 9, the statute automatically sets that number at 5.
Okay.
And that's in a case called Camber versus Kenilworth Condominium Association. It's a 2003 case, and the arbitrator in that case ruled that an association always has the power to reset that number by a properly noticed membership meeting to actually amend the bylaws, provided that that number can't be amended at the same meeting as the annual election. So, again, the simple answer to the question is, again, when you have a wide range, like between 3 and 9, the statute says, guess what? Your board is now composed of 5 members.
Where do they get that number from?
It's in the statute.
It's
the fallback provision in the statute.
Let's just go with what's in the middle.
Yeah, so why don't we do this? Let's take our final break of the hour, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer, Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Yes, we're live on New Year's Day. And we've got John in North Miami Beach on the line. Hi, John.
Hello.
How are you, John?
Hi. Who is this, Eric?
Yes, it is. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year for you too. This is John, the favorite John that you know. Eric, I would like to ask you a quick question. I was attacked by a board member, but I was attacked physically, and I called the police. I made the report, and I went to the state attorney's office, and I filed a complaint with the state attorney. So what is the next step? What do you suggest, or what do you think are my right, or what I should do or not do?
Well, a couple of things. Next thing you're going to do is probably, you know, hear from the state attorney's office as to when there's going to be some sort of a pretrial conference, or, you know, what your intentions are if you actually want to fully prosecute the case, and they're going to see just how committed you are to it. And depending upon whether or not that person who put their hands on you has some sort of a criminal record, that's going to determine which way this case actually goes. But you know what's sad is that this is unfortunately not an exceptional isolated incident. We're finding that it's happening more and more at board meetings, and very unfortunate.
It was not board meeting, Eric.
Oh, really? It was outside even a board meeting.
Outside, you didn't have anything to do at board meeting.
Really? Okay. So did it
at board meeting? I will understand people can kill themselves. So I understand there is a lot of pressure sometimes.
Right, sure.
But this was not the case.
Well,
it was completely outside.
The law may allow you to get a restraining order against that other board member, which would prevent that board member from coming next to you. Typically, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, though, I think you have to prove 2 acts of violence within a 6-month period,
It's a restraining order against repeat violence, unless you got a really good attorney.
Right. But
I need an attorney. I ask you that because I just want to see what is the next step. I know that I will take an attorney. Definitely, and you know who I am going to take.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, give us a call at the office, John, and we'll walk you down the path that you need to go.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's probably best. Yeah, 855, yes. The number 4, Condo Craze. And again, what you wind up doing for a restraining order, you go swear out these allegations in front of a judge, let him know that an arrest was actually made in the case. And again, depending upon the circumstances, a judge may in fact issue a restraining order.
I mean, there's also another type of injunction you can get through the condominium statute if the assault actually happened on the condominium property. But that's just something we're going to need to discuss in depth and off the air. So why don't you give
us a call? No, too many details, and I understand that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Eric, I heard that you are in vacation, or you were in vacation?
We were on vacation. That's why I was in Disney, and that's why we were talking about my speeding ticket. But, we're back. We're back, okay?
Yeah, we'll see everybody on Tuesday.
Right. Yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call, Sean.
Okay, I will give you a call on Tuesday to make an appointment.
There
is other matter that I want to talk to you.
You got it.
Okay,
thanks,
thank you,
Sean.
Both of you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, unfortunately, this, Scott, has become your area of expertise, unquestionably.
What is?
Going after people who, let's just say, don't know how to play nice and play by the rules in the association. You've kicked more people out of condos and got restraining orders for more people than probably anybody else.
I wouldn't say it's expertise. It's just nobody else wants to do it.
You can do a restraining order on someone who lives within 500 feet
as
of you.
As a matter of fact,
then they
Scott
can't
argued a very, very interesting appeal, I'd say about 8-10 months ago, maybe even longer, where a guy in a condo in South Beach was, let's just say, more than acting up, actually beating people up. What was he doing? He grabbed a fire extinguisher off a wall, beat somebody with it.
He took a fire extinguisher and beat a guy in a wheelchair with it.
Tased somebody. And long story short, Scott got an injunction actually kicking him out of the condominium. He was not allowed to come onto the condominium property. And it went up to the Third District Court of Appeals, and they argued that you can't do that to somebody and prevent them from going to their own home.
Well, the thing is, you know,
the Third District Court of Appeals said, oh, really? You want to bet?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the police tried to do their best, but what happened was none of the victims were willing to see the guy prosecuted because they were scared of him.
Right.
This isn't the guy that ended up in the trunk.
That's the guy that ended up in the trunk of a car in Long Island with a hole in the head. So, all right, moving on, let's take another email. Again, still taking your call, some time left. 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. But the next email is from Cherry from Hollandale Beach. And she says, and we get a lot of these types of emails too, that her association actually, believe it or not, in this economy, has a surplus at the end of the year. And her question is, should the board credit that surplus against next year's assessments, or do they put it into the reserve account instead?
Well, first she needs to retain Glazer and Associates with that surplus. But tell them
surplus. How many people have surpluses? Yeah. What are you complaining about? Exactly. But last year we had on the show Mark Gerstel and Robert Rosen, and they're a sponsor of the show, and they are the founders of Gerstel, Rosen, and Goldenberg. And I can tell you, again, this same question not only was asked of them last year, but it gets asked every single year. And the answer, quite frankly, is that it's the unit owner's money. So at least as far as I'm concerned, it should either be returned to them or it should be credited against future assessments for next year.
Eric, I don't know how many times we've spoken about this, and it just keeps frustrating me. I don't know where people keep getting the idea that money can be rolled over into a reserve account, which is a completely separate, account.
Right.
All right. There is not a single sentence in the Florida statute that provides for that. Yet people keep asking the same question. Suppose the association even voted against funding of reserves. Then how can someone justify putting the excess funds into the reserve account, something the unit owners don't even want?
Yeah, there's no question we are on the same page on this one. And as a matter of fact, Jan Bergman from Cyber Citizens for Justice, he emailed me about an HOA in Broward County that took their HOA excess funds and reduced everybody's monthly dues by $50 starting this January, and it sent each unit owner in good standing a refund check for $1,000 at Christmas time. And that is absolutely a nice Christmas present, and I think that's respectfully the way to do it, not take the money and throw it into a reserve account. And, hey, remember that case we spoke about a few weeks ago where the 9/11 hero was being asked to take down that flag by the HOA, the one that had the flag of the 9/11 victims? Well, if you guys were enraged by that act of that board of directors from the HOA, you ain't heard nothing yet, because an HOA in Lexington, Kentucky is demanding that the playhouse of a 3-year-old kid with cerebral palsy be removed from the child's outdoor yard because under the definition of a structure, I should say this playhouse met the definition of a structure under the association's governing documents, and structures aren't allowed in anybody's yards.
Yeah, let me read what it says here. The playhouse was actually built upon the instruction of the toddler's therapist. It cost the family $5,000 to construct and plays a vital part in his physical development. The playhouse was actually built to make the child more active and has proven to be the central thing to treatment of this child's disorder.
Wow. Yeah. And I see that the board of directors was originally quoted as saying that it will not back down and that there are people who live here who expect us to abide by the covenants. It's why they bought their house. The structures not attached to the house are not allowed.
Yeah, that's why they bought their house, right? I'm sure these people in the community bought their house because they knew that a kid with cerebral palsy is going to one day be prohibited from building a playhouse in their backyard. That's a silly, ridiculous answer. And get this. Apparently, $50 per day fines were accumulating on this property, believe it or not.
And now, when we originally wrote this story for the show, the HOA was firm that they were not backing down, but I understand that there might have been a change of heart?
Yeah, not entirely true, though. The board voted to let the child keep his playhouse during the holidays, but that they promised to now re-vote this matter this month in January. And I got to tell you, I actually went on the internet and I found a news story and a video about this case, and it actually shows the kid's house. And I got to tell you, it is disgraceful that this HOA, knowing that they're dealing with a sick child, allows swing sets, they allow trampolines all over the place, but they won't allow what's actually, you have to see this thing, it's actually a beautiful playhouse. It was painted the same color as the main house. It actually almost looked like a miniature of the main house. And I just hope the parents on this one don't back down and they take it all the way up through the courts. And there's websites right now that are actually devoted to obtaining signatures of people who oppose what the board is doing. And I got to tell you, it's those types of board members who give the bad names to all the hardworking board members and the reasonable ones who are out there, I have to tell you. And on that note, I think we are just about out of time.
Yeah, do you have any real New Year's resolutions for yourself, Eric?
Got to lose some weight, I know that. That I definitely have to do. Stay in shape. Be nice to my fellow attorney.
I don't know.
How about the Jets?
How about the Jets?
And the Dolphins?
The Jets.
Think you're going to go to court this year?
Yeah, I will, actually. All right. Yeah, go Jets. Go Giants. Big game tonight. Loser goes home.
Go
so the
Dolphins.
Cowboys will be going home.
Go Dolphins.
Everybody have a great week, and tune in again next week on Condo Craze and HOAs. Have a great week, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.